image.
Page 110, so 1180.
I'll just leave it still. Go for it.
Thank you. So Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this. Where, dear friends, I plead with Euodia and plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you so much that your word is true, and it's good, and it's pure, and it's lovely. Thank you that it really speaks into real life situations. Thank you that it's something solid which we can build our life upon. So please would you help us not simply to just hear random truths and agree with them, but please would this be something today which transforms the way that we live. Would you enable us to rejoice in the Lord always as we hear your word spoken to us this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Join in. Okay, like two people joined in there. But we know the song, right? What's the song called? Don't Worry, Be Happy. That's the name of the song. Don't Worry, Be Happy. Don't lie, Joe. You knew what it was. I'm a talented whistler, what can I say? Okay, forget the whistling, we all know the song. Don't Worry, Be Happy. If you don't know it, it was a song that was number one in the charts back in 1988, but evident to us today that it's still popular. Now, one of the reasons that it's still popular is because it's a catchy tune, which is very easy to whistle, but it's also because it's something that affects everyone. The subject of the song is something that we all understand. The subject of worry, fear, anxiety. That's something which affects everyone. Imagine that you are this bottle. Imagine that you are this bottle. What anxiety does, what worry does, is it shakes us up like this. And it leaves us feeling like a shaken up bottle of fizz. Worry churns us up. It spills us up on the inside. Worry turns things over in our mind again and again, and we feel like a shaken up bottle of fizz. I'm not going to open it because it will explode everywhere. And perhaps some of us know what it is to feel like this on the inside. Maybe even as we come this morning, some of us are feeling shaken up, worried. All of us experience worry, and we would all love for the bubbles to settle. We'd love to be able to say or to whistle, "Don't worry, be happy." It's fine. I'm not gonna bother. I'm not gonna worry about anything in life. I'm just gonna be happy. And so we sing along with the song. Joe, do you wanna lead us?
Here's a little song. You might want to sing it. No, don't worry, be happy.
There you go. I didn't actually think you were gonna do that, but round of applause for Joe. Fair play. But we do. It's something that we would love to know for ourselves. Don't worry. Be happy, except for that song is not really of any use, is it? It might be a catchy tune. It might be a nice sentiment. But for someone who is in the grip of anxiety, it's not going to help very much. If someone is in a spiral of worry, just telling them to snap out of it and to be cheerful is not particularly useful. We don't just need to be told what to do, we need to be told how to do it. Don't worry, be happy. Very similar commands are found in the passage we just read. Look at verse 6. Do not be anxious. Don't worry. Verse 4. Rejoice. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. But unlike the song, the Bible gives us much more than just an empty command. God gives us the why and the how. He gives us solid reasons and practical steps that we can take that will help us to deal with the problem of anxiety, to deal with it when we feel shaken up on the inside. Don't worry, be happy is useless unless we're given the tools. And this part of God's word will show us how anxiety can turn to peace, how worry can turn to joy. But before we dive in, it's worth just noting that each of us comes into this from a different position. Worry is something that affects all of us, but it's quite a wide spectrum. So we all have very different experiences with the same topic of worry. For some of us, worry is something that crops up occasionally, maybe when there's a big incident or a big situation that happens in our life and it makes us worry. Others of us, it's more of a daily battle, even a minute-by-minute wrestle with the feelings of anxiety. It's like a dark cloud which just puts a shadow on almost everything. For some of us, things like medication and counselling can be really helpful for anxiety. And those can be really good things. It is right that we make use of the healthcare that's available to us. But wherever we are on that spectrum of anxiety, I hope that today's passage is going to be helpful for us all. Because Paul gives us the principles which are the basis of dealing with worry and experiencing peace, the peace of God. It's not all that there is to say about anxiety. It's not all the Bible says about anxiety. But it's a great place to start. So imagine you are this bottle. The question is, what is inside the bottle? How do you go from anxiety to peace? And we're going to see two things. The first is this. Samuel, if you click onto the next slide. The first is, and one more. Pour it out. Pour it out. Now look at verse 6 again. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't worry. That's the command. And that feels like a bit of a weird command. Because anxiety is normally something that we think is a feeling rather than an action. But to be anxious is an action. Worry chooses to follow a train of thought. Worry is turning something over in your mind again and again. It's an action. And there is a difference between the feeling of worry and the action of worrying. Now, of course, the two are going to be linked. But some of us who experience anxiety will know that sometimes it's a feeling that comes out of the blue. It comes unexpected and unannounced and with no particular reason. And feeling worried is a natural part of human experience. We see it in our own lives and we see it in the Bible amongst people who are following God. It doesn't mean that they never worry about anything. Just read the Psalms and you'll see that the psalmists often have fear and anxiety. That's the presenting factor which is causing them to cry out to God. In fact, look back at chapter 2, verse 28. It's just across the page. Because this is something that Paul himself, the guy who's writing this letter and telling people not to worry, he experiences it himself. Verse 28, he says, I'm all the more eager to send Epaphroditus back to you so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So when Paul says, do not be anxious, he's not commanding against the feeling of worry. He's commanding against the action of worry. Sometimes, inevitably in life, in a fallen world, we will feel like a shaken up bottle of fizz. But the Bible says, don't keep stirring it. When you feel worried, don't worry. Worry is the action of churning something up inside. And if you keep stirring a bottle of fizz, it's not going to help it calm down. Perhaps an example will help to see this distinction. So imagine, there's all sorts of things that cause us to worry. Each of us is different, but this is just an example. A family member becomes unwell and needs to go to hospital to get some treatments. Now, naturally, you feel worried. You have a right care and concern for your family member. But that concern, which is right and natural, can quickly become over-concern. I think that's a helpful way of thinking about worry. Worry is over-concern. That happens when you actively choose to worry. So maybe you play out the worst case scenarios in your head and you play them out and begin to panic because of what might happen. Or it might show itself in that you try and control a situation which is actually outside of your control. And when you can't control it, you feel horrible. Or it might end up that you're useless to your family member who's ill in hospital because actually you've just gone down a personal spiral of dark thoughts and you're just caving away from everyone else. See, there's a difference between having a concern and an over-concern. There's the natural feeling of worry and then the choice of actively worrying some more. And it's not always easy to see where the line is between concern and over-concern. But Paul's point is pretty simple here. He says, don't be anxious. Don't keep stirring it up and turning those thoughts over and over and over and over. Don't let it dominate your mind. Don't let it preoccupy your thoughts. It's a command. Don't worry. Okay, so we're not supposed to worry. We're not supposed to go down those lines of negative thought. But what's the alternative? What is the other option? And Paul says, pour it out. Let's read the rest of verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You see, worry keeps anxious thoughts bottled up. And Paul says, don't do that. Whoa. That's why I got rid of half of it. But Paul says, don't keep it bottled up. Pour it out. Pour it out. And he's saying, not just pour it out, but pour it out to God. Look at the last phrase of verse 6 again. He says, present your requests to God. So when I say pour it out, I'm not talking about a meditation type thing where you're just trying to empty your head of negative thoughts and you go into a mind where you've got nothing in your head. That's not what I'm talking about. All I mean is pour out those anxious thoughts to God. Pour out your heart to your loving Heavenly Father. Give it over to God. When anxiety is creeping up on us, when worry is close by, the first thing to do is to get on our knees. We need to speak to God before we speak to others. If I'm worried about something, often my knee-jerk reaction is to talk to someone else and to get their opinion. When we're concerned, we run to people that we trust. So it might be your husband or wife. Often we want to talk to our parents, don't we, for some reason? Because they've had that care and that trust in our life. And so when we're concerned, we want to speak to them. And obviously it can be a really helpful thing to get someone else's opinion and advice. But the first thing to do is to go to God. He is one that we can truly trust. Name your worries and hand them over to Him. Pour it out to God. Pour it out to God by prayer and petition. Did you notice that again in verse 6? In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Petition is about asking. Requests are about asking. It seems obvious to say, but as we come to our Heavenly Father, not only can we tell Him how we feel as we pour out our hearts, but we can present our requests to Him. Isn't that good? If there is a situation that causes you to worry, you can bring that situation to God and ask Him to act. At the same time, you can ask Him to help you not to worry. He is a God who actually can do things. It's not just talking to the ceiling. It's not just to make us feel better. We can actually bring our requests to a loving Heavenly Father who is in control of all things and ask Him to act. As we pray, We are exercising trust in the God who is totally able to deal with the problem of anxiety and totally able to deal with whatever it was that triggered our anxiety. One of the problems with worry is that it doesn't change anything. It doesn't make any difference to the situation. We can't change anything. But God can. And so Paul says, pour it out. Pour it out to God with prayer, by prayer and petition. And with thanksgiving. See it? It's verse 6 again. Do not be anxious about anything. What's the alternative? Pour it out in every situation by prayer and petition, asking with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, for those of us who know what it is to worry, and we've already agreed that's all of us, that seems odd, doesn't it? To tell someone who's worrying to be thankful. It doesn't seem to quite fit with how you feel. Sure, you might be able to pour out your heart to God and say, this is how I'm feeling. You might be able to say, please help. But to stop and be thankful, it doesn't seem to fit with worry. But that's why Paul says it. Because if we pause to be thankful, it completely changes our perspective. Consider the difference between these two prayers. Here's prayer number one. God, I'm scared because I'm not in control of this situation. Help me not to worry, and please would it not go as badly as I'm imagining it's going to go. But now add thanksgiving. God, I'm scared because I'm not in control of this situation. Thank you that you are always in control of all things. Thank you that I can trust you even though I don't understand. Help me not to worry, but to trust your plan. Do you see the difference? Thanksgiving takes our eyes off of ourselves and off of our circumstances and lifts them to our wonderful God. Thanksgiving reminds us of the unchanging goodness of God in any situation. Here's another example. Prayer number one. God, I'm really worried about going to school tomorrow because I feel lonely, because I'm being bullied. Help me not to worry, and please would tomorrow be okay. That's a good prayer to pray. But now add thanksgiving. God, I'm really worried about going to school tomorrow because I'm being bullied. I'm feeling lonely. Thank you that you are a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Thank you that you will never leave me or forsake me. Please help me not to worry, and please help me tomorrow. Do you see how it changes the focus? Thanksgiving helps us to see that all of our circumstances are purposefully designed by an all-wise, all-knowing, all-loving God. So when you feel like that bottle of fizz that's been shaken up, Paul says, pour it out. Present your requests to God with thankfulness. It reminds me of the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. At a time of great pressure, he knows that he's about to be arrested. And he's going to go to the cross where he's going to die in the place of sinners, where he's going to bear the full anger of God the Father. The turmoil was so overwhelming that it causes him to sweat drops of blood. He has every reason to be anxious. And yet what does he do? He pours it out to his Heavenly Father. He lays out his requests. And he trusts the goodness of the plan. Don't be anxious. Instead, pour it out to God. Now, that seems like a pretty obvious thing to say, right? You thought you were going to get something. Oh, here's the, you know, the golden ticket to deal with the silver bullet, whatever it is, to deal with anxiety. And you just told me that I need to pray. And it seems really obvious. Of course, that's the thing to do, to pray with thanksgiving. But it's so hard. In the moment, in the battle, in the heat of when worry is close and anxiety takes a grip, it takes such discipline to actually do this as a first port of call. When I'm worried, prayer does not come easily. It is not my first reaction. Normally, I either want to work out how I can fix the situation, or I just try and convince myself that actually I've got nothing to worry about and just bury my head in the sand. Or I just want to escape the whole situation and pretend like it's not happening. Or, if I'm really worried, I might talk to someone else, talk to Riss or someone else that I know that will help me. It takes great discipline to actually get on your knees as the first port of call, to calm your anxious thoughts, and before doing anything else, to pour it out to God. It's even harder to pray with thankfulness. And as we pour it out to our loving Heavenly Father, look what happens. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Peace is the opposite of chaos and turmoil. Peace is the opposite of a shaken up bottle of fizz. As we pour out our anxious thoughts to God, we receive the peace of God. A peace that transcends all understanding. A peace that doesn't make sense. A peace that goes beyond what we would expect. A peace which seemed impossible just a few moments ago. And notice, the promise is not present your request to God and he will instantly sort out all of the problems that are making you worry. He doesn't say that. He doesn't promise a change in situation. He promises a change in reaction. Anxiety to peace. A peace that doesn't make sense. And isn't that our experience? When we actually do these things, when we take the time, rather than to panic, rather than to stick our head in the sand or go to someone else, when we actually bring these things before our lovingly Heavenly Father, give them over to him with requests and with thankfulness, we experience this peace which is bizarre. A peace that doesn't make sense. That's the promise of God. What's in this bottle? How do you go from anxiety to peace? Well, the first half is to pour it out to God. And here's the second thing. Fill it up. Once you've poured it out, fill it up. I've been reading the autobiography of Johan Cruyff, who was a footballer and a coach. And after he retired from his football career, he had bad health, and so he gave up smoking. But it wasn't enough for him just to get rid of cigarettes. He needed to replace it with something. So he replaced cigarettes with lollipops. I guess lollipops are probably just as bad for you in different ways. But the point is this. The flip side to getting rid of something which is negative is replacing it with something positive. So if we've poured out our anxious thoughts to our loving Heavenly Father, what's going to fill the bottle? If worry is not the focus of our thoughts, what should be? Verse 8 tells us. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So rather than anxiousness, and the word anxiousness has the sense of thinking on something, so rather than thinking on our anxious thoughts, this is what we are to think on. It's all about what our mindset is on. Think about these things. So if you and I are this bottle, then Paul says, this is not going to go well, but Paul says we need to fill it up with something else. Pour out your anxious thoughts and fill up with things that are pure and lovely. That's why I've got water. Water is a lovely, pure thing. It doesn't harm anyone. It's good. It's necessary for life. And Paul says, look, fill up with that which is pure and good. And in that verse, there's a whole list of words, a whole list of words which means similar things. Paul says, think about what is true. That's not false, but factual. Not fake, but real. Think about what is noble. Stuff that is worthy of honour and respect. Think about what is right. What is fair and good. Think about pure things. Untainted, innocent, lovely things. Things that are pleasant and agreeable and pleasing. Things that are admirable. That means they're worthy of praise. We can admire them. Things that are excellent, outstanding in their character or in their achievements. Things that are praiseworthy. Stuff that you can recommend to others. Say, you should really check this out. We've seen throughout Philippians that it really matters what your mind is set on. And Paul says, rather than tying yourself up in knots as you spiral into worry, instead, fill your mind with edifying, profitable, positive things that celebrate the goodness of God. You see, every good thing that we enjoy in some way reflects the goodness of God. Our God created all things, and he gives good gifts. Sometimes when you're in a pit of worry, it feels like nothing is good. It feels like no one else exists except for you in this bubble of hurt and pain. And it feels like I can't enjoy anything. But having poured out your anxious thoughts to God, sometimes it's really helpful just to go and do something that you like. Do something that you enjoy. To enjoy God's good gifts. The gift of music. That can really help to change a mood. The gift of food. I like to go for a run. I find that helps me to just get outside of my thoughts which are on things that aren't true and aren't helpful and aren't good. And instead set my mind on things that are pure and lovely. Things that reflect God's goodness. The created world. Lift your eyes beyond your circumstances to some of the good gifts of God. And as we set our minds on those things, it refocuses our thinking. And of course, the best place we can go to think about these sort of things is God's word. The pure word of God. His true word. His excellent word. And again, that might feel like the last thing you want to do if you're in the middle of worry. But as you fill your mind with the wonderful truths found in the word of God, that's the path to peace. In particular, as you focus your mind on the Lord Jesus, as you see his portrait painted across the pages of the Bible, because verse 8 is basically his profile, right? Jesus is true. There was no deceit found in his mouth. Jesus is noble, worthy of the highest honor. Jesus is right, the just judge. Jesus is pure, a lamb without blemish. Jesus is lovely, the most pleasant of men. Jesus is admirable, worthy of all our praise. Jesus is excellent, outstanding in every way. Jesus is praiseworthy. He's someone that we can recommend to others and know that we're never going to oversell him. So really what Paul is saying here is fill your mind with Jesus and every good thing which reflects his good character. Here's something from my experience this week. As you might have picked up, anxiety can be a real struggle for me personally. And this week has been really tough, really rough. Just kind of living out these truths. I've struggled this week, but I've tried to apply the truths that I've been learning to myself. And so I've been trying to pour out my anxious thoughts to God and fill up with that which is good. And at one point I found myself in a spiral of anxiety. So I poured out my concerns to the Lord. And then I thought, okay, now I need to set my mind on something which is pure and lovely and good. And I found myself thinking about the cross. And as I thought about the cross, I thought, that's weird. Because the cross is, that's not lovely. That's not good. It's not pure. The cross is disgusting. It's ugly. But it's not. Because it's at the cross that I most clearly see how lovely and beautiful the Lord Jesus really is. At the cross, anxiety melts away. Maybe I worry about health or security. It's at the cross that I know I'm eternally safe and nothing can pluck me from my Father's hand. Maybe my anxiety is rooted in the sin of the past. It's at the cross that I know I'm completely forgiven. Maybe I worry about the unknown. I worry about the future. It's at the cross that I know for sure that my future is secure. Maybe my anxiety is wrapped up in a traumatic event which happened in the past. It's at the cross that I can see that God is in control of all circumstances, no matter how horrific they might seem. Maybe I'm anxious because I don't know how I'm going to pay that bill or get through that week or deal with that situation. It's at the cross I know that God will provide all that I need. The more time we spend at the foot of the cross, the harder we'll find it to worry. Fill up with Jesus. That's Paul's advice. And he knows what he's talking about. Look at verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. This isn't theoretical for Paul. Remember, he's writing from prison. He said earlier on in the book that he's unsure whether he's going to get out or whether he's going to be killed. His life has been in constant danger, and yet he says in verse 11, I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. He can say, rejoice in the Lord always. He can say, don't be anxious about anything. He says this is something for every situation. Pour out to God and fill up with God. And what will happen? End of verse 9. And the God of peace will be with you. Not just the peace of God, but the God of peace himself. The Lord Jesus, after his resurrection from the dead, he appears to his disciples as they cowered away in fear in that locked room. And what did he say to them? Peace be with you. His death in the place of sinners is the basis of our peace with God. He paid the penalty so that we could go from being enemies to friends. And his resurrection presence is the proof of peace with God. And peace with God is the very reason we can know peace within. Maybe you're not a Christian, but one of the reasons that you're here, and one of the reasons that you're searching, is because you're searching for peace. You love to have this settled joy. You love to go from being all shaken up on the inside to being settled and peaceful. You'll never know true, lasting peace within unless you know peace with God. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He died on the cross to make peace for us, to lead us into the paths of peace. So that if that's you this morning, you need to follow him. It doesn't mean that you're always going to feel tranquil. That's not the promise. But peace within is only possible if you've got peace with God. And followers of Jesus, we have this wonderful comfort in anxiety. Just dwell on this wonderful truth for a moment. If anxiety is an issue for you, if it's something that you wrestle with, here's the promise. Not just the peace of God, but the God of peace is with you. The very same risen Lord Jesus who said, peace be with you, is the same risen Lord Jesus who then said, and I will be with you. In your lowest moments, at the bottom of your darkest spiral, you are not alone. The God of peace will be with you. And so this is so much more than, you know, just don't worry, be happy. We've got the why, we've got the how, we've got solid reasons that we can actually build on. We've got things that we can actually do. And this peace that we've talked about this morning is the basis for living how we're supposed to live. I wish we had more time to spend on this because it's really cool. But just let me tell you in 2 minutes, two things. Because we've got two other commands in this passage. Verse 4, we have a command. Be joyful always. Rejoice in the Lord always. How is it possible to be joyful at all times? That's something we love, right? How is it possible to find joy, whatever the circumstances? It's possible if we rejoice, look at it, verse 4, in the Lord and not our circumstances. If we are filling our minds with Jesus and the peace that he brings, that's how to rejoice in the Lord. There's another command, verse 5. Be gentle. Let your gentleness be evident to all. So what's this stuff we've talked about today? What's this got to do with our relationships with each other? Well, it's the peace of God and peace within, which is the basis of our peace with others. How can we be gentle with each other? Only if we know the peace that is found at the foot of the cross. You see, Jesus-like gentleness and Jesus-centered joy flow from the peace that is found at the foot of the cross. And so today we've had a message from Paul, which is never going to get to number one in the charts, but I think it's a bit more use than don't worry, be happy. I think it's something really precious if we get our minds around it. When you worry, when anxiety takes hold and shakes you up, pour it out to God and fill up with God, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he is everything that we need. Please would you help us to trust him completely for peace with God that we all need. And please would you help us to focus in him on him wholeheartedly. That we would fill our minds with everything that he is and everything that he's done for us. And please would you bring us peace. Father, I want to lift to you particularly right now those of us in this church family who are wrestling with anxiety, for whom it seems a daily struggle. Please would you draw near. Would you help us to take these principles or these truths to apply them to our hearts and our lives. Lord, that's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a quick fix. It's not that we're all going to go away completely without any struggles anymore today. But please would you help us increasingly to take these simple truths and apply them to our hearts and our lives. Please would you help us when we're faced with fear, when we're faced with circumstances that make us worried, please would you help us to pour them out to you with thanksgiving, to present our requests to you. And help us then to fill up with what is good, to fill our minds with Jesus, so that we might know your peace. Help us with these things, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing again.